The Year 1879 in our virtual tour brings us to Saoire Ciarán in County Offaly, a fascinating and lovely parish, an ancient monastic site. Fascinating because to this day, it's the only parish in the diocese that is physically detached from the rest of the diocese. It's an island parish, entirely surrounded by the Diocese of Killaloe. And the reason why, both in the Anglican and the Roman Catholic arrangements, that the Diocese of Ossory has zealously held on to Saoire Ciarán is because we perceive it to be the place of our founding. It's associated with Ciarán's monastery, what he established. And although the see subsequently moved to Avo and later to Kilkenny, because we perceive our roots as being in Saoire Ciarán, we zealously retain it. And people there have a wonderful sense of being part of Ossory, even though it is, as I say, an island surrounded by Killaloe. There's something of a quirk about it, but it's a very pleasant one. And it's a lovely place to go to, especially on St. Ciarán's Day in March, when it's a place of great ecumenical significance and pilgrimage. So as we pray for it now, we might give thanks for how it is a place which so naturally draws to itself and into each other's company people of different traditions and backgrounds who find there a gathering place to celebrate common roots and a common story. Back to 1879. It was a terrible year on the land in Ireland. Crop failure, very obvious hunger and economic crisis. And some feared the return to the black 1840s and another famine, even though it didn't reach that level. But the churches and other charitable bodies were involved in feeding and charitable work. And particularly in the west of Ireland, where there were some disturbances, there were those who feared, rightly or wrongly, that the Church of Ireland, in its work of social outreach, had a kind of hidden agenda, that the Reformed Church was providing food and supplying necessities to hungry people in the hope that they'd kind of join up and that this would be a sort of opportunity for mission and indeed proselytism. Now, there was a delicate memory of all of this in rural Ireland, particularly in the West, because of what had gone on in the previous famine, when some zealous Protestants thought the famine was an opportunity almost to finish the Reformation and through practical outreach to encourage people into their fold. All this issue of the work of a minority church at a time of hunger, the motives inspiring those who did charitable work, that much discussed and troubling word superism and the taking of soup, all this has left a complex legacy. To this day, the Church of Ireland, especially in the rural republic, is very conscious of respecting neighbours, living and let live, and not being too keen on zealous evangelism, which might look like putting sickles in another's harvest or even proselytizing on their turf. Programmes for proactive evangelism, favoured in many other Anglican contexts, just don't easily work here. We welcome and embrace those who come amongst us, but we're very wary of perceived proselytism, because let's face it, we've a lot of historic baggage, and we're actually remarkably blessed that a church so long associated in Irish history with the Ancien Régime came through the changes of the late 19th century and early 20th century so well and developed a constructive and respected identity in a new Ireland. However, years like 1879 point up for us as a minority the curious continuing challenges and real sensitivities on how we, even in today's Ireland, follow the clear gospel injunction to do the work of an evangelist. Evangelism is a Christian priority, but our history teaches us that the glib importation into this land of methods of doing evangelism that may have perfectly acceptably found favour in other places don't necessarily work here, and that the soil of Ireland is complicatedly textured by the story of how, as it were, mission was done in less happy times.